Today we are going to continue our new series on treasures in heaven. Valuing what God values is, of course, that's sort of a subtitle maybe, I don't know. I've never been good at naming lessons. Of course, our key text is Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So last week we began this series, and really the question, what do you value, right? And I could ask it a different way, what are your values, which in some ways maybe sounds a bit different. Really, could the things that you value be found in heaven? That's what he's saying here, right? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Things that you find to be valuable, things that you prioritize, things that you care about, are those things that are in heaven or will be found in heaven, or will they help you make it to heaven? There are some things in life that I think not necessarily will be in heaven, but can help us to get there. And we could ask this instead, is it something God values? The things that are your treasure, are they things that God considers to be treasure too? So when we think about valuing what God values, this sort of is turned into a way of emulating or becoming like God, right? 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16, as obedient children, not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. That would be before you were a Christian, right? Or maybe when you were young. We can think about that too. As you children grow up, we think about the passions of our former ignorance. If you were converted at a young age, perhaps, or if you were converted later in life, there is a change that should happen. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And again, reminder that the word holy here means set apart, right? Sanctified or set apart for some divine, sacred purpose. The things that you value, are they things that help you accomplish that sacred purpose? 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love, we're going to be in 1 John a lot today. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And what did he say in Matthew? Where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Here, instead of using the word treasure or value, what are we using? Love. Do not love, do not prioritize or cherish the things of the world. And of course, he gives these categories. So the next question would be, how can we know what God values? If I'm supposed to be valuing what God does, how can I know what that is? And of course, we learn this in the same way we examine our own values, right? I gave you some homework last week. I don't know if you did it, so we can do the same homework maybe. What do we spend our time on? I don't know, just be thinking about that. What do we talk about a lot? What do we keep coming back to in our thoughts and our activities? What do we spend our limited resources on? Now, it could be money, but, you know, time is a limited resource, and energy is a limited resource. Think about the ways you spend your energy. God has revealed these things about himself, hasn't he? He has revealed the things that he cares about in the same way that we think about our own treasure and value. We can consider God, the sorts of things that come up in Scripture a lot. Have you noticed that some subjects come up more in Scripture than others? What about the sort of things he repeatedly commands? There's a couple of commands that are only one or two places. There are some commands that are like every book. What sorts of things does he continually say? And if we think about Scripture as something that reveals God's values, which it's not the only thing it does, but it is a thing that Scripture does, then one concept or subject or thing rises very quickly to the top of the list of things that God values. Genesis 1, beginning at the very beginning of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Why did God not just let it go on like this? He could have done that. God, who has existed in perpetuity, even that, the language of time is so hard, right? Because we're thinking about things in a temporal way. But God, who has eternally existed, who created time itself, could have just continued as he was, even if he maybe made the angelic beings. I don't know exactly. We're not given all the details of how that was accomplished and when that happened and in relation to ourselves. But why did he decide to create the heavens and the earth? Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion to be in charge of the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the livestock, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay, well, now we've created, not we, God, thinking about himself, right? We have created this world. Now let us make something better. Something that is like us. Again, thinking about the Trinity of God saying these things. So not only did he stop with creating, he didn't stop with creating the world, but he created some other particular kind of creation that would have dominion over, that would be in his image. Genesis 1:29. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree of seed with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And we could keep reading about this, but what do we see in the creation story? God, who existed before the creation, even before is kind of a weird word there, but who decided ultimately to create something, and then in that creation decided to create a different thing that would have dominion over, and in a large way created everything else to support that one creation, which would be humanity. What do we see? God values people. He values us enough to make us, and he values us enough to shape reality itself around us. Because we are the ones that was given dominion, the ones that creation was made for, our food and the way that we live. So the very existence and form of creation speaks to God's value of people. And as we peruse scripture, we might consider some other ways that we talk about value, right? Treasure, we previously talked about the word treasure. But the most prominent way of talking about something we value is what? That word love, which we've already read in this sermon. I love X, Y, or Z. That's how we describe value. And so the language of love, as we think about love, why we will be in the book of John so much in 1 John, is because John uses this language. The language of love highlights the absoluteness, the priority, the way that God values people. John 3:16, the most famous verse in the entire Bible. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Not only did he value people enough to make us, that's Genesis 1, he values us enough to sacrifice for us, to give his only son. Isn't that what it says in the text? Romans 5:6 through 11. While we were still weak. That word weak, what does weak mean? Incompetent. Ultimately, we know in the text it means sinful, separated from God, and unable to do anything about our problems. Isn't that really what it comes down to? Is we are unable to do anything about the problem that we have of sin. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Our value is not dependent on us valuing him first. And it's not dependent upon what we can do for him. As Paul says in Acts 17, the God that made heaven and earth does not live in temples made by hands, is not served by humans as though he needs anything. Because this is how we value people, right? Sometimes. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So as we think about storing up treasure in heaven, an integral part of that is valuing people. Now, we must not value people in a cynical way, the way the world does often, which is, what can this person do for me, right? We value people to the extent that they can benefit us. So I value so-and-so because they sometimes buy me lunch, or because they can help me get a promotion, or because I have a lot of fun with them. Right? This is the way the world thinks about value. But we think about the way God values, it is deeper than that, isn't it? We mustn't consider people in a strictly utilitarian way, that I value you because you're good for me in some way. It goes deeper than that with God, right? That's the point. While we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. Rather, we must consider that people have intrinsic, that word intrinsic, what does that mean? Inherent, it is baked into the very nature of their being. They have value, not because of what they can do for us, but by very virtue of their creation, they have value. All people have value, regardless of what they can do for you. And certainly we treat some people as valuable. I think even the world does too, right? Even people who have no desire to be Christian, they treat people as valuable. But do we value all people? Even the people we don't like. Even that coworker who just keeps getting on my nerves. Even that person who said that horrible thing about you that one time, you just can't let it go. Even that person who hurt you in some way, who still has value. Not because they are valuable to you, but because they have value because of the nature of God and how he values them. James 2, 1 through 4. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you, sit here in a good place. I don't know why I always make snooty people British. While you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves? And here's the kicker. Become judges with evil thoughts. Developing a godly value of people, treasuring them as God treasures them, means removing as much partiality, in other words, we might have bias, as much preconceived bias as we can, removing that from our hearts. Not showing partiality because all people have value. I will say that many more times in this sermon. All people have value. And if we are laying up treasure in heaven, we must consider that God wants all people to be in heaven. And what more could I do to lay up treasure in heaven than help someone get to heaven? There's nothing more I could do to lay up treasure in heaven. 1 John 4, 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. And if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Remember, again, this is an extension of being holy like God, right? For to be holy like God is holy, to treasure the things that God treasures, to value the things that God values. And if we don't value people, then we don't value God either. We can just substitute love, right? Because if I'm thinking about treasuring God, and I love God, and I want to be with God, and I like God, but what ends up happening? I only love God to the extent that God can fit me in some way, right? That's what we end up doing. I only love God to the extent that he answers my prayers. Or I only love God to the extent that he helps me have benefit in my life and helps my life be better. That's the way we treat people, right? I only value people to the extent that they can help me, and that's how we treat God sometimes. So, of course, the one who hates his brother cannot love God because God loves that person that you're hating. And God values and cherishes that person who you're hating. So why would God consider to be loved by you if you do not love the thing that he loves? 1 John 3, 16 through 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And putting these things together, right? We love because he first loved us. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. God has showed us what it means to value people. He has showed us what that looks like in practicality. Let's keep reading this. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? What's the implied answer there? It don't. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Don't we make sacrifices for the things or people or ideas that we treasure, right? Make sacrifices for that job that pays you a lot of money, because really you value the money. You make sacrifices for that relationship with that person you really care about. We make sacrifices for our children because we value and treasure our children. We make sacrifices to whatever, the things that we value. If we value people, what does that mean? We will make sacrifices for people. Because isn't that what God did? Isn't that what it says right here? By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And consider the sacrifice of Jesus, not just as a one-time thing, but leaving heaven in the first place and putting up with this life for 30 years and then having to intercede for us for the rest of time. Do you think he ever gets tired of that? Now, he's God, so probably not, but I would. I would get tired of interceding for me if I had to deal with myself. And he does it because he values us, right? Just like we ought to value people. Do we make these kinds of sacrifices for people? And again, I want to really highlight this. Even or especially people who cannot be of any benefit to you. If you only sacrifice for those who can help you, you don't value people, you value what people can do for you. Because you're selfish. And I should be using we, because we all struggle with this temptation, don't we? We struggle to view people the way that God views people. Our values show up in every avenue of life. When I ask you the question, what are your values? That's demonstrated by everything you do. Does the way we engage with the world demonstrate that we treasure people, that we love them, that we consider them to be important? This might be in our political action, the way we engage with politics. Does the way that you engage with politics, the way you talk about politics, the way you vote, the way whatever, does that show that you care about people? What about the way you spend your money? I don't know your finances. God does, of course. Does the way you spend your money demonstrate that you treasure people? And again, not just people that are in your life, not just the people that can benefit you, but people in general. What about the way you talk about people? Again, maybe even especially people you don't know. The way we talk about people, does it demonstrate that we care about them? That we love them? That we think they're important and valuable? Or does it demonstrate that really I just care about the people I like and I really just care about what's good for me? Because this is what ends up happening, right? Now, most of all, as we conclude this lesson, do we value people enough to share the gospel with them? Because if God values people and he put us in this life to be his body, to carry out his will, isn't that what we're going to do? We'll end with 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, which we've read several times already, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Valuing people begins with considering how God valued you and what God was willing to do for you. And remembering that he's willing to do that for everybody. And if you don't ever reach a point where you're willing to share the gospel with somebody, you have not shown them the treasure, the value that God has. Because that is what God desires, right? That all should be saved. And how's that going to happen? It's going to happen if we value people and treasure people and show people God's love of them. Which, again, if we think about this purpose, that's going to go back to the way we engage in politics, the way we spend our money, the way we talk about people, the things we do. All of that's going to feed into, or not, showing people how God values them. And as we conclude this lesson, again, we have to consider these things this week. I don't know what it is that you do all the time and all the time you have, but consider how much of your effort is spent towards reaching the lost. And if the answer is zero, you spend no effort reaching the lost, can you honestly say that you value people the way that God does? Are you being holy as God is holy? And so we want to offer the invitation to do this appeal to you on behalf of God, on behalf of Christ. Let me offer this, that God has sent his son to die for you, which we've read already, that there is opportunity for salvation today, amen, if we're willing to submit to his will, to turn to him, to confess him before men, to be immersed into Christ. We can have this righteousness of God. If you need to do that, come while we stand and sing.